The downtown Bank of Eureka Springs building represents the final vestiges of what once was a functioning village filled with storefront grocers, cobblers, farriers, seamstresses, and dry goods vendors. All of those are gone now, replaced by souvenir shops and galleries. The old hotels still stand, of course, alongside contemporary B&Bs. And the downtown bank still works, even though it's about to show a new side, that of a historical museum. Bank Chairman John Cross.
It's been a working museum all along since we did this decor in 1979 in time for the centennial. It was a centennial event. So it's been a working museum, and I'm the biggest museum piece in it.
True that. John Cross is large, physically and energetically. The 76-year-old fourth-generation Eurekan's been associated with the bank for 54 years and loves to talk about it and history.
My grandfather was an original stockholder, a very minority stockholder, but the Willis brothers came here for their health from Oklahoma and founded the bank in 1912. So we are now 98 years old, getting ready for our 100th anniversary.
Which will be some shootout, Cross said. The bank was chartered in 1912, but has been at this location for 43 years. And when you step inside the red brick and limestone building, you step back in time. The ornate interior reflects the bank's post-Victorian era roots, with a working pot-bellied wood stove, lots of black wrought iron, polished brass teller cages, and penny tile. Vintage-style carpet mutes the atmosphere while green incandescent lamps provide a warm glow. And among the historic photographs lining the walls is a very new, large acquisition, a muslin quilt with 42 red-stitched panels, each telling a Eureka tale.
That's symbolic. This quilt, a lady, we found it in Hurricane Utah, of all places, next to Bryce Canyon National Park, I believe. And apparently she had gotten a hold of the museum, which people logically go to the museum to about. But the museum doesn't have the money to buy something like this. They're struggling. And so they sent her over here. And we looked at it. And the names read like a who's who. And there's a date on it, 1908, right here. And knowing a lot about the history of Eureka Springs, I was able to recognize some of these names, many of the names, and it's like the Matthews. It's bankers that were here, started the commercial bank, which became the First National Bank, and Blue Springs in here, Cary Nations in here, and our Christian church is in here. And the names, like I said, just read like a who's who in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and it's just precious.
This 100-year-old quilt, along with several huge antique Eureka Springs maps, have been carefully framed by a former Smithsonian Museum conservator. Cross started collecting in earnest several decades ago.
Eureka, the metamorphosis of Eureka began in 78 with the planning of the centennial. That's when we turned the town around and restored it, literally in 2 years. I mean, the things that were done, starting with the cleanup of the springs and the burnout buildings were restored. We did this at the bank. We brought back the awnings. We restored the courthouse with the help of Wayne Farwell. We brought the trolley back. We brought the trains back. It all happened. So I didn't become a collector. And quite frankly, I wasn't interested in, I was too busy trying to stay alive and make a living and support four children in 1978. So this kind of happened.
When word spread of his effort, residents began to donate items and bring in historic photographs. With a preservation grant, over 4,000 have been digitized and sorted for viewing in the bank's former brokerage room, also shared with the museum, the Eureka Springs Museum, and Carnegie Public Library in town. Each year, the bank publishes a calendar illustrated with some of the rarely seen historic photographs. When the bank built a new modern facility uptown, rebranding itself as Cornerstone Bank, most of the offices here were vacated, and most will be dedicated to museum space. Cross continues to operate here, though, along with his administrator and two tellers.
There's when I was cashier. That's after I got promoted. I started working here at $200 a month. I was starving to death. And I just came in here to take a job because I'd just gotten married, and I didn't have a job. We were closing the motel up, and the winter before, I'd been in the Army and was drawing a payroll from the Army. So here I was, came in here just as a temporary deal, and I'm still here, you know.
John Cross's office with its massive oak desk, black upholstered chairs and brass spittoon is within clear shot of the teller's cages. He refuses to use a computer, email, cell phone, or even answering machine. And with several lit display cases in his office, he appears to be part of the museum.
Most things are displayed right now. We have some things that aren't quite displayed, but we just bought these two Perkins cabinets a couple of months ago. And we just put the plaques on them yesterday, see? What more better for a history collection in Eureka Springs than a cabinet built by W.O. Perkins of Eureka Springs, Perkins Lumber Company, Perkins Mill, Perkins who built the courthouse here under my grandfather, Claude Fuller, when he was mayor.
Claude Fuller also served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1929 to 1939 and led a huge public life, much of it chronicled here. Claude Fuller is responsible for saving the Bank of Eureka Springs from crashing during the Great Depression. In 1931, there were two banks in town, this one and the First National Bank.
One night in 1931, we had a run on our bank just like everybody else. Everybody wanted their money. The head of the bank, First National Bank, called the guy that was running our bank. His name was Dick Simpson, later state bank commissioner, and said, we're going to close our bank in the morning and not open for business, and we suggest you do the same. It's all recited in the Backwoods Bearing Book. So Dick called Mr. Fuller, and Mr. Fuller just happened to be, of course, he was in Washington in Congress, and he just happened to be out at his daughter's house, my mother. And Granddad said, don't close that bank. And so he raised money. He raised it from friends. And so they figured somebody would try to rob him. And he came into Monette, which is where the train stopped at those days. So they sent two cars up. One was a dummy car, a decoy car. And the robbers fell for it. They followed the decoy car out on the highway and first one thing and another. And by the time they got it stopped and interviewed everybody, they figured out that Mr. Fuller was not among them. He was in the other car speeding towards Eureka Springs with the money to save the bank.
You can imagine Claude Fuller carrying a wicker basket filled with crushed dollars, blowing past patrons into the bank one snowy day to save it. No, wait, that's Jimmy Stewart and It's a Wonderful Life. Anyway, a recent acquisition is one of Claude Fuller's white Stetsons used for political barter.
He helped Governor Faubus get elected, and Faubus asked him what he wanted. He said, I want you to make Dick Simpson, my vice president here in the bank, who's been here for 20 or 30 years, I want you to make him state bank commissioner. And the governor said, I'll do it on one condition. He said, what's that? He said, you give me that new hat. Now, you want to hear the rest of the story? Fast forward to about 2-3 years ago, time gets away from me. In walks John Mitchell, antique man, and he's got a box under his arm. I said, what do you got there, John? He said, I got a present for you. Said, where you been? He said, I've been down to the Faubus auction. So he opened it up. There was the hat that Granddad and I've got it back here in the museum. We're going right back there. There was the hat that Granddad sailed across to Orville Faubus in exchange for appointing Dick Simpson state bank commissioner.
You can easily spot John Cross striding downtown by his white Stetson cowboy hat. He's a horseman, has his own herd, and collects antique horse tack, which fills one of the display rooms here.
But all of these saddles and this memorabilia that's in here, most all of it is over 100 years old.
So the bottom line of this venture, and with banks there's always a bottom line, this museum will serve to protect the bank's historic name. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.